Welcome to 91 Weeks of Transformation. This is Pastor Rock Dilliman, lead pastor at Allegheny Center Alliance Church. Every 2 years, our congregation and friends participate in a shared, planned journey of studying the Word of God together on a daily basis. We assign you specific readings, and then you have opportunity to hear commentary from Pastor John Soper, who devised this system of study, and from me as I seek to pull out various implications and applications relating to our theme. The first year, our theme was 91 Weeks with Jesus. The second year, 91 Weeks with the Holy Spirit, and this time, 91 Weeks of Transformation. The Word of God is all about transformation. Let me read two New Testament passages that affirm that. Romans 12, verse 2. The Apostle Paul said, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." And then in 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul again said, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another." The word transformation, as used in those passages, does not refer to mere changes in outward behavior. The word refers to something far more significant and substantive. The word refers to a change in your inward orientation, a change in your actual character and your orientation to life. Then that change brings about corresponding change in your outward behavior. So when we read about God's transforming work in our lives, He's not just tweaking the externals. He's radically altering our internals. The entire Bible is really a book about transformation. We start our journey through Scripture in Genesis, where we read of what God intended. But we don't have to go very far until we realize God's intent was compromised. And then God set a plan in motion to transform things so that they would return to His original intent. The Bible really goes full circle from God's original creation to God's recreation. And in between, we read about God's transforming work. And when we come to the end of Scripture, in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 3, we read that God is in the business of making all things new. It doesn't say that He's making all new things. That would be replacement. He's making all things new. That is transformation. Well, having talked about our theme in broad strokes, let's begin to look at our first week's readings. They come from the opening chapters of the Bible, from the book of Genesis, and from two of the Psalms. And together, that passage in Genesis and those portions of the Psalms announce God's transforming intent. In fact, God's transforming intent is announced even before humanity is mentioned. Here's why I say that. In the opening chapters of God's Word, we read about the earth being formless and void and dark. And we immediately read about God transforming that condition by bringing form out of the formless, by bringing substance where there was void, by bringing light where there was dark. So before the human race is even mentioned, we see God transforming the physical realm, transforming it from what it was to what he intended it to be. Now, that sets the stage for a book, the Bible, that's all about God doing the same thing in us. God bringing form where our lives are formless, bringing substance where there are voids in our life, bringing light where there is darkness of understanding. How did God address that original formless void and dark creation? How did he transform it? He transformed it by his speaking. All transformation starts with God speaking. We know that he speaks through his living, eternal, unchanging word. That's why we study it. We know that he speaks through Jesus. Hebrews 1:2 says, God, having spoken through the prophets in the past, has now in these last days spoken through Christ his Son. We also know that God speaks through his Spirit, who is able to minister directly to our spirits. And the two Psalms that we're reading this week, Psalm 8 and Psalm 19, remind us that there's a fourth way that God speaks. He speaks through his creation. His creation testifies to his existence, to his creative power, to his governance, and to his eternal nature. So, God speaks through his word, through his creation, through his Spirit, and in Jesus. And it's that speaking that transforms our life. Now, we see early on in the biblical narrative the propensity of humanity to abuse the gift of free will and to use that wonderful gift to disobey and violate the commandments of God. We're all aware of Adam and Eve's sin and their pride and their unbelief and their spiritual rebellion. And shortly after we read of their rebellion, we read about the first murder in human history as Cain took the life of his brother Abel. And those catastrophic and tragic events early in the biblical narrative remind us that God's transforming work can be refused. It can be rejected. We can turn our back on it. We can pass on it. We can say, in essence, no, we'd rather set our own agenda. We'd rather do things our own way. But the early narrative reminds us that when we reject God's transformation for our own determination, the results are always disappointing, always less than what we hope for, always tragic. But God's transformation can be refused. Now, I want to point out something about Cain's sin against God, because his sin against God establishes early in Scripture that one of the greatest enemies of God's transforming, liberating work in human hearts is false, man-made religion. Now, Cain didn't have his own sanctuaries. He didn't start a faith. He didn't start a denomination. But here's what happened. God early on instructed man to offer up animal sacrifices to make them aware of the tragic consequences of their sin and to make them aware that that sin could only be dealt with through the death of a sacrifice. Now, we know that was all meant to foreshadow the coming sacrifice of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the religion, if you want to use that term, that God established early involved animal sacrifice. Cain evidently found that concept offensive. So he chose to, in essence, set up his own counterfeit religious expression. He offered up the fruits and the vegetables that he had grown in his fields. And God immediately rejected that sacrifice because it was contrary to what he commanded. And it really was a false religion, a false worship, one shaped by Cain's desires and sensibilities rather than shaped by the Word of God. And of course, when he saw that God would not accept his offering, he grew bitter and resentful towards his brother Abel, hated his brother Abel, entertained the thought of terminating his life, and then terminated his life. But it tells us early on that one of the greatest enemies of God's transforming work is false religion. And today, we find ourselves in a world where millions and millions of people, billions of people collectively, seek after God through religions of their own making that are contrary to what God has revealed about Christ, his sacrifice, and his resurrection. There are many alternatives, Islam being the largest, but there's Buddhism, Confucianism, Spiritism, and so on. But these are all descendants of Cain, all examples of humanity rejecting God's true faith for a religious, spiritual expression of their own making. And where that unfolds, people miss the wonderful, liberating transformation of God. They actually end up being conformed to this world rather than being transformed by the renewing of their mind. They end up missing the potential for being transformed into the image of Christ. Instead, they're transformed into the image of a counterfeit. As we continue in this week's readings, and Pastor Soper will give the theological explanations, I'm looking at them from the perspective of transformation, we read about Noah and how after his miraculous deliverance from the flood, he had some regrettable incidents in his life, including an experience of drunkenness where he disgraced himself before his sons. Now, we're not going to get into how that happened. It's been speculated that perhaps Noah was suffering from what we now call survival or survivor guilt, that he had watched the entire world of humanity perish because of its sin against God. Only his family was spared. And perhaps as he looked inward and saw his own sinfulness, he felt a guilt over being spared. We don't know. But it was a regrettable episode in his life. But Scripture records it for us because Scripture is an honest read. It doesn't cover the mistakes of God's people. That testifies to the genuineness of Scripture if, as some suggest, the Bible was a false narrative written by people who wanted to perpetuate a false religion, they would overlook the sins of the faithful. But Noah's setback reminds us that for all of us, There will be times of setback in our transformation. Most of the time, it will feel like three steps forward and two steps back. But God is faithful. He who begins the good work of transformation in us will complete it. Well, I hope you'll join me every week as we talk about the transformation principles that we find in God's Word. And I want to remind you, as we've taken the long view of Scripture today in this opening session, that if you want to be transformed, your transformation begins by hearing God. And that's what the 21-week journey is all about. God bless you.